And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Let's go.
We're feeling good. Andrew and Braden here with episode 40.
What a time to be
quite
alive.
Quite a milestone episode for us.
Absolutely.
I'm hitting the 4-0.
Yes, the Jeremy Evans episode, or the Shannon Anderson, if
Dunk
you will.
Dunk contest champion, Jeremy Evans.
Jazz legend. You think number 40 will go in the rafters for Jeremy Evans? Or
no, but I don't know. Do you remember his nickname?
I forgot.
I'm pretty sure his nickname was the human pogo stick.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Just a fact check.
He was a beast.
He is the human pogo stick, or known as the elevator Evans.
Yeah, he was a beast. I remember that one time when he like blocked somebody's three, took it to the other end and did a windmill or something. Yeah, he was crazy, man.
Yeah, he painted that picture of himself dunking and then unveiled it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was crazy. He was a beast. We have a lot of exciting things to talk about in our episode today. Somehow we're in August and we're scraping out Jazz news here. Not really scraping. There's
a decent amount this week.
Actually some stuff going on. So former Jazz player retires. We're going to talk a little bit about him and his Jazz legacy. Jazz may have signed Micah Potter to a I won't give it away, but we may have signed a player. And then we're going to talk about what's going on with the Lauri Markkanen situation, kind of. Jazz haven't announced anything, so we'll talk about that. And then a noteworthy documentary coming out. That'll be on the docket today. And then we'll spend some time talking about the Paris Olympics. Lots of exciting things. And then we'll close out with local sports.
Yeah, and if you're a longtime listener of our podcast, or if this is your first episode, welcome. We're glad to have you here. We're on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your podcast. We're also on YouTube now and on Instagram. I'm putting out some other content there, so check out for that. And we hope that this episode finds you well and it gets you in the mood for some Jazz.
And this is episode 40 of Tuned In Jazz.
Okay, the first bit of news today.
Ooh,
Betrayward. Gordon Betrayward. He retires.
The man who ruined 4th of July 2017. Is that right? 17?
I think so. He played in the playoffs that year and then left. So
maybe
it was 2018.
Yeah, but around there. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about Gordon Hayward? Have any spite still? Happy with his play, or how do you feel about him now that he's retired?
You know, I think I've been seeing some things online, people debating whether we should still be mad at him. Kind of interesting. I will say this. I'm not necessarily mad at him, but I think if Gordon Hayward had stayed on the Jazz with those teams following, he would have a championship, and so would we, and I'll die on that hill. I mean, him, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert would have been pretty special, so
I definitely agree.
Maybe just a little disappointed. I have a hard time feeling bad for him with the way his career ended. He should have stayed.
I was so mad at him after he went to the Celtics, but then when he like broke his ankle, I kind of felt bad.
It was hard to be mad at him after that.
Right? You know, like, is it really okay to still be mad at a guy that can't walk?
Yeah, that's true.
I also want to add, he was on Paul George's podcast during the season. And it was pretty cool to hear about how, because Paul George and him were drafted the same draft class.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were like around the same pick.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on what picks they were, but
just
them coming into the league together. And then, of course, you know, Hayward, probably the biggest moment of his career was in college, where he almost beat Duke in the national championship at Butler. He's a March Madness legend, Gordon Hayward is.
Worked out for us. I wonder if we would have been able to get him if he had made that shot.
Just with would have gone up in the draft with that shot,
a little
of course.
Bit.
And then also, I love Hayward. Just, he is a professional.
Absolutely.
Like, he answers questions in such a great way. He's a pretty standout guy. And so as much as like I still call him Betrayward sometimes to be fun, he is a good guy and had a really good career.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, maybe angry is the wrong word for us. We're all just kind of disappointed because we really loved him. Like, he gave us some great moments when he played for the Jazz. It seemed like his family loved being here. He always talked highly.
What's your biggest Hayward moment that you remember? Or just general, even if you can't think of a certain play?
Well, I mean, there was a couple good buzzer beaters we've been talking about, but I think just like how exciting it was when he was an all-star. Like, I feel like it had been a while at that point since we had had an all-star, at least since Darren Williams, which I guess isn't that long ago. But I mean, just how cool it was to see him in the all-star game. I think that was a moment for me where I was like really proud to be a Jazz fan, you know?
I don't know if he made an all-star after that.
I think that was his only All-Star appearance.
I think he's a one-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Which is great for him. I mean, he played pretty well after, but that was his best year.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were talking about his buzzer beater against the Cavaliers when LeBron comes to town. It's for some reason, during the Hayward era and a little after, LeBron just couldn't win in Utah.
Yeah.
That buzzer beater was kind of one of those awesome moments with going against LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Interestingly enough, you mentioned Paul George. I've been seeing some things. Gordon Hayward was the last remaining player from that draft class other than Paul George. So Paul George is the only player from the 2010 draft class still.
It's awesome that he's still playing after that injury.
And it's kind of crazy to think like that's only 14 seasons. I mean only, but LeBron's in year 21 and we're talking about year 14. Only one guy left is kind of wild. But happy for him. I hope he lives out his dream. Hopefully we get to see him now that he's not attached to anybody. Maybe we'll see him do some Jazz stuff. I don't know. Maybe some interviews. Yeah. He could be involved with the organization. I don't know.
If the fans accept him, we'll have to see.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have to see what the fans say. But I guess another news, you mentioned in the intro, Micah Potter gets locked up to the Jazz. I think he's taking that last two-way spot.
I believe so. That's right. I believe so.
So Olympian. Yeah. Member of the U.S. select team.
I've actually been impressed with what we've seen. I mean, only in a couple minutes in Olympic practices and exhibitions, but I'm a big Micah Potter stan. I hope that he succeeds, finds a role.
He's a good shooter.
Yeah.
It's just hard for him to find minutes.
It is. It really is. Especially with us drafting guys, and it's hard to justify playing him over anybody else. And it kind of surprises me that he would sign another two-way, to be honest. It kind of seems like he's paid his dues a little. He would be at least worth a minimum somewhere. But, it's good to have him. Good to
have
him
when
back.
He was on the Jazz, he didn't play that many minutes, of course. Yeah. But for all of his three-point shots, he shot 46% from three. So that's really solid in those garbage time minutes, of course. But still,
absolutely.
Something good.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of interesting to go to our next point as well. So it was announced that we signed him to a two-way, but the Jazz have not actually said anything. There's no actual Jazz reputable sources confirming this as of right now, but some NBA guys have talked about it. So, which goes along with the Jazz have not actually announced any of their signings, including the rookies.
Which I didn't even notice till you pointed that out.
Yeah, it's not on the NBA website.
Not on their Twitter or anything.
Not on Twitter. It's been reported by, you know, Shams and Woj. And so I'm sure there's been agreements made, but the Jazz have not, as far as we know, put ink to paper on any of these deals, which is kind of interesting. Do you think this has to do with the Lowry deal?
I think 100% has to do with Lowry.
Yeah.
Because I think they can rework his last $18 million in the contract, and so that's going to really be the domino for our salary cap.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that means, like, on August 7th, we expect Lowry to sign it then.
Yeah.
That the Jazz are just going to, like, drop, like, 10 tweets on Twitter of all the contracts
we signed,
and their details. But I don't know. It's kind of odd because normally they're very quick to post something officially from them.
Yeah. It also seems odd because we talked last week about our salary situation. We're not really hurting for like
we're the opposite. Yeah.
We could probably sign all those guys and still give Lowry as much money as we want, to be honest. So I don't really, unless they're trying to keep stuff open for trades.
I think the Jazz know, like, people have not thought about basketball or NBA basketball right now, and so they're just like not doing anything, and nobody really cares, honestly.
except unless
you're like a listener of our podcast, I'm sure you care a lot
and
want to know the contract situations, but most people I think are just not really even noticing this.
Yeah.
Like, they're just kind of doing their own thing and waiting for the next season, really.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw, we didn't plan to talk about this, but did you see Keontae went and visited Lowry and was that in Finland,
in
right?
In Finland.
Yeah.
I think a Jazz coach was there, too.
Yeah.
I don't confirm that.
Looks
but
like they went and worked out together.
Lowry looks exciting. Ripped. Like, oh, it looks like he's gained some muscle. Like, he's going to be able to, like, body a couple guys down low now.
Yeah, dude. We've got our own a little more white Giannis Antetokounmpo out here that can shoot a little better, probably.
I also heard someone say, like, oh, the Jazz wouldn't send Keontae to Finland if Lowry wasn't part of the future plans.
That's true.
I don't think we could read into that too much, but it definitely means, like, they want to play together and they're getting some good shots up. I hope Lowry's not even really thinking about this right now. Like, he's going to get the money one way or another. Play basketball, have some fun this summer. They're friends. He had a picture of him like fishing with his son.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's so dope. Yeah. It's just, I feel like I don't mean to beat a dead horse. We've talked about Lowry for like, I feel like it's been every topic but
there's our marking in minute.
Yeah. I mean, the guy loves being here. We love him. It's kind of scary. It's starting to scare me a little, the Jazz direction are going, because it's like, it doesn't seem like we really have a direction. Like, we've talked about that a little, but like,
at least we're not the Chicago Bulls.
That's true.
They're the definition of no direction.
Yeah. So
I do think with Lowry, we could still be bad.
Yeah. That's true.
But it seems like every season we just come out at the beginning of the year and it comes to All-Star break and we're just like too good.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. So we just got to be awful like the Pistons were last year.
Yeah.
Or we got to be good. I don't know if we have the talent to be good, but we'll see.
I was listening to Bill Simmons and he talked about that same thing. Like, we've kind of talked about this, but he talked about how the Jazz need to pick a lane. Like, are they going to compete till the deadline and then tank, mm-hmm. or are they going to actually tank? We need to.
Well, we were predicting the win total last episode. Yeah. Go check that out. We were thinking like 28, 29 wins.
Yeah.
That would put us probably below the Rockets and Warriors, who might be outside the playoffs.
Yeah.
Probably below the Grizzlies next year with Ja back.
I think Grizzlies could jump back in the playoffs.
And then who knows with the Spurs? They added Chris Paul and Stephon Castle.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we could be like bottom of the West. The only team that could be lower than us might be like the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
I can't even think of another team
in the same position as them. Yeah.
So we're going to be pretty low down there. But, and then a lot of the Eastern Conference teams, I could see us being better than like the Hornets. I could see us having a couple more wins than them.
Yeah.
The Wizards and Pistons still don't look very good.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Although, Kate, I feel like the Pistons, I thought they were going to do something last year. So who knows? Maybe they could get a couple more.
It'd be interesting to see the Clippers. I mean, I don't think
they could miss the playoffs.
I could see them.
They're kind of directionless now too. After Paul George left,
being below 500 next year, 100%.
So I mean, that puts us at like 14th in the West, and where are we going with that? You know?
Yeah. So kind of crazy, but we do have NBA basketball on the horizon. Jazz have announced their preseason schedule, which is kind of fun. Starting October 4th, I believe.
Hey, we played the New Zealand Breakers last year as well.
We did, yeah.
As our first game. So they're
kind of exciting.
They just want the
They want all
fire,
the smoke over here, yeah.
All the smoke. They're just, I think we beat them by like 40 or 50 last year. So we'll see what the margin is.
Yeah, kind of exciting. But that's October 4th. That is less than 2 months away. So
heck yeah.
That's kind of crazy. It feels like we just ended the season low-key, but also it seems like it's been a while, so I don't know.
Yeah, I went to a preseason game last year, and it was like $5 for like an upper bowl ticket. It's so cheap, and it's fun because all the players at least play the first quarter.
Yeah, you get to kind of see everybody.
And if you're a Jazz fan like us, you don't mind watching the bench a little bit too. So
yeah, it's all good basketball.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun. So we start with the Breakers in Houston at home. Then we go on a little road trip, Dallas and San Antonio, come back for Sacramento. And then we close off on October 18th. So that's a lot of games in 2 weeks. I guess not really NBA schedule, but... And then we close off with Portland on the 18th in Portland.
Yeah, I like how they're able to travel on this too. Kind of those rookies get used to the grind
life of an NBA.
Flights and getting to games every couple days.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So we're excited for that. And then also the Jazz documentary is finally coming out. Yes, I didn't, sir. I think they kind of stopped announcing stuff about it because it might've got delayed.
Yeah.
With the hockey team. They didn't know that they were going to have so much
going on.
Going on with the hockey team.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's getting released very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three places that you can watch. First, you could watch August 10th at the Delta Center. There's a free watch party that you can go to if you're in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then on August 12th, it's on Jazz Plus. And August 13th, it's on YouTube for anybody to watch on the Jazz YouTube channel. So everybody will be able to watch it. It's exciting. It goes through 50 years of Jazz basketball. And I'm sure we're going to have an episode dedicated to our reactions on it. So watch out for that coming soon. How do you feel about it? We've been waiting for this for a while.
I'm excited. I think we've seen snippets of some of the interviews all year, kind of with the Jazz season. But it'd be cool to see like the actual... I'm hoping it's something similar to like a Last Dance. I mean, I know it's not on one season, but we get to hear a bunch of players talk about their experience. It'd be kind of cool. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about some eras of Jazz basketball that I haven't ever seen before. Like I saw they were sitting down with Adrian Dantley. I want to really get into like who was Adrian Dantley on the court? What was his game and how did he leave his mark on the Jazz, right? In the like 70s, which I was very much not alive at that point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be super fun. It's sometimes we forget like we talk about all these old players and we forget that they're also human beings. You know, like they have stories, they have
they're not just a card on 2K.
Absolutely. Yeah. they might have been going through things that we now don't necessarily see or like team might have been so it's kinda it'll be cool. I think it'll give us a cool perspective on the Jazz franchise. Paris Olympics are
so exciting.
Going strong.
I loved watching
right
it.
Now. USA is, we were tied for first last night. I believe we're two golds behind China at the moment.
Gosh darn China. But, they've been ahead for quite a bit of the weeks.
Total medal count we're killing, but a lot of countries.
Yeah, what is like the total medal?
I think we were at like 72 or something like that.
And that's crazy.
China was second with, we're at 75. China has 52. They're second.
And then what about golds?
And golds, China's at 21, we're at 19. And third place is Australia at 13. So us and China have kind of distanced.
Australia's been doing great in the pool.
Yeah, they have.
I don't know if you heard, Australia has a lot of fun nicknames for their teams.
I didn't know
Their swimmers are called the Dolphins.
Oh, really?
That's pretty sick.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, I've been seeing some things like Australian people talking a lot of trash on the United States. And then it's like, I didn't even realize we had a rivalry with Australia. I mean,
I thought it was China, to be honest.
I did too. But
I mean, I guess Australia is really doing that.
If that gives them motivation, I'm happy for them. That's awesome. Sometimes you got to get yourself motivated somehow.
China did beat the U.S. men in the 4x4 relay.
Oh, that's right.
Barely. The U.S. was so close to winning, but then the U.S. beat China in the mixed relay in the pool. So I don't know. We're both getting some medals. And it was pretty interesting. China won that men's relay, but the U.S. had won it for like the past 3 or 4 Olympics. And so it was a big deal for China. It's the first gold they've ever had in that event.
Yeah. It's still pretty early, too. I think we go till, I guess we have a week left, but there's still some team sports that haven't been finished.
Mm-hmm.
But men's and women's basketball will win. Women's soccer, we're kind of.
Well, you got to wait till they do. Like,
yeah,
of course they're the favorite, but you gotta make it happen first. It's not a gimme.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's start talking about that. What have you thought of USA men's basketball so far? We went 3-0 in group play.
Yep. We took care of business. We didn't really take care of business in the way that I would have liked.
Fair enough.
We still gave South Sudan still kind of gave us a game.
Yeah.
It wasn't as close as the exhibition one, but still a little close. I still think we can win this, and it's not going to be too much of a worry for the USA team. But like, they need to get their stuff together.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's Steve Kerr or just the fit of their talent, but it just feels like they could be so much better.
Yeah, the roster's been a little odd. Like, there's been a lot of talk about Jason Tatum and Embiid sitting out those entire games, which I get that it's like hard to do lineups, but I don't understand why they couldn't play at least a couple of minutes. Like, we were up by enough. It's just been weird, the lineups.
It was weird. Steve Kerr like apologized to the media, like, "Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't play Tatum. Like, he'll play next game."
Right. Yeah.
That was really weird. I'll also say, like, I think the other countries are more physical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they are kind of beating us up.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think LeBron has been such a great part of the team, because he doesn't care about the physicality. He's going to beat up people, right?
Absolutely.
And so I just think the USA team needs to, like, get some more fight in them, be able to kind of be more of the aggressor in the physicality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our path to the gold is pretty nice right now. I think France and Canada are both on the opposite side of the bracket, which is good news for us. We might have to play one of them, but not.
I'm pretty sure Canada is on our side.
Oh, are they?
If I'm not mistaken, but I could definitely be wrong. But it'll be good.
Yeah,
we're definitely the favorite. So let's take care of business, right? And then in addition to that, I wanted to ask you this question, because as you're watching the Olympics, you've got the live broadcasts, and you've also got the primetime coverage. Are you a live type of guy, watch or recorded the live parts, or do you like watching the more primetime?
Sit down, talk about it type
after
of thing.
It's because it's already happened at that point, and so it's very easy to get spoilers.
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually been really impressed with Dwayne Wade's been the play by play. I didn't even know he did broadcast stuff, but
I think this is his first time.
He's actually seems really natural at it. I've kind of been enjoying hearing his perspective, especially as like a former teammate of like LeBron and KD, and like he definitely puts
some personality. That's fun. Yeah. I like that with commentators. And like Charles Barkley is always amazing at that. Right?
Yeah, and was Ian Eagles as or a.
It's an eagle. I don't think it's
It might
Ian.
Be his brother, yeah.
It might
you're
be
right.
his brother, or it might be his son, actually.
Oh, is it a son? Oh, yeah.
It's an eagle, though.
Yeah. So that's kind of my preference. I don't know. What side are you on?
I like the live.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could get to the broadcast at night, and you just know what's going to happen already. Right. So it's like, Simone Biles might get gold. Like, we're not sure. Or like, Leon Marchand is in the pool today. Like, wonder what's going to happen, you know? And it's just wild. Like, okay, I'll just watch it again.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm a live type of guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we've both been watching. What have been like your favorite moments of the Olympics so far? I've got a couple as well.
Yeah, I was watching, it's always hard to keep track of the swimming sports, but it was the women's 1500, I think. Katie Ledecky.
Dominant.
I think she was like 18 seconds ahead of second place. Like she is just insane. It's so fun to watch her. Like, it reminds me of watching Michael Phelps back in the day when he was just winning everything.
She became the most decorated Olympian.
Yeah.
Women's Olympian of all time.
Yeah, which is insane.
It's crazy.
That's been really exciting for me. I've enjoyed watching her.
Yeah, my top moment is also in the pool with swimming. Uh-huh. It was the USA mixed relay.
Yeah, is that the men's one?
It was two men, two women.
Okay,
if I remember right, it was Gretchen Walsh and the other woman swimmer. I'm blanking on her name right now, but she was our anchor at the end.
Oh, okay.
And then the men as well. I think one of them was Ryan Murphy. I can't remember the other guy's name.
Yeah.
But we were neck and neck with China the entire time. And we actually broke the world record for
that event and
beat China. And it was awesome.
Let's go.
It's just cool to see. Like, they're not very old either. Yeah. All these swimmers, for the most part, are in their 20s, maybe one or two in their 30s. But they're just making everything happen. That was so cool to see that world record and beating China.
Yeah. Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah.
I think it was last night.
Oh, the woman swimmer was Tori Husk.
Tori Husk.
Sorry.
Husk, yeah. I'm very much a Noah Lyles disliker.
Mm-hmm.
No. His comments about basketball were a little ignorant, but I will say that race last night, the 100 meter? Did you see that one?
100 meter.
That was a crazy finish.
Holy cow.
Like, I'm not even, I could see how they...
I still don't even know who won.
Yeah, I know he technically won, but also, like, I don't know how you could have, like, deciphered. That was a crazy finish. There was, like, three guys that it's all finished at like, the same time.
I love the movie Cars. Do you remember that three-way tie?
He's got the tongue out and everything. Yeah, dude.
That's what happened. But he got the gold. His shoulder was a little bit ahead.
Yeah. That was absolutely good for him, though. That was a pretty crazy finish.
Yeah, he's trying to become the first to win the 100 and 200 meter race.
Yeah, it's
and
wild.
And he's 200 meters actually his specialty. And yeah. So he should be the favorite for that, too.
Yeah. Oh, he's insane. I will say that.
Another couple small moments that I like that maybe aren't as popular.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the highlights for the USA men's rowing. And they won the gold medal for four men.
Let's
rowing.
Go. Boys in the boat.
Let's go, boys kidding. In the boat. I haven't heard about the eight-man rowing, but I'm trying to find that. And then as well, I watched the ping pong gold medal match.
Was USA relevant in that?
USA was not even close. I think they got knocked out in like the round of 16.
Fair enough.
But for the last four Olympics, it's been China versus China the gold medal match because China's just dominant.
Yeah,
they're so good. And this guy, his name was Fan. He he won the gold medal from China, and he was so dominant. He had this like killer topspin forearm that was just like,
jeez,
oh my goodness,
wow.
So pretty much this guy from Sweden made it to the gold medal match, and he broke the streak of China versus China.
Good for him.
And he won the silver medal barely.
Wow.
And he was like. He won the first game, and then after that, he was just hanging on for dear life.
The
China guy was just going in crazy. That was pretty fun to watch.
I saw a video. I don't know if you've seen this. Anthony Edwards was on the bus talking trash to the women's ping pong. Like, he was telling him he could, like, beat him in ping pong, which we all know is just silly.
He said he could get 1 point.
Oh, 1 point.
It'd be 11
it was.
To 1.
Yeah. probably not.
I don't know if he could. She was really good,
But
too.
Then he was, like, supporting him, and it was kind of cool to see him, like, supporting him.
In the crowd and all that. I want to see that happen for real. Like, her versus him on...
That would be fun.
On, like, Bleacher Report or something like that would be pretty cool.
That's just, like, the... do you remember that show Shaq versus...
Maybe, yeah.
They were talking about that the other day because Shaq had a show where he would like compete against the best athletes in different sports. And he did one where he was swimming against Michael Phelps. He had three, it was the 1500 or whatever. Mm-hmm. He had three partners who were actually swimmers and they swam against him. And then Shaq was supposed to swim the last lap. and he totally got cooked on they were like way ahead.
I think
Shaq
beat
cooked.
Him. On the last, but Michael Phelps
it was
like,
close. He caught it
Michael
pretty
Phelps,
far.
Was way behind.
Yeah.
So it was like Shaq had a huge head start.
Yeah. That'd be fun to start seeing Olympic athletes compete against each other in different
sports.
Yeah,
that'd be fun. I saw Snoop Dogg was doing some segments with fencing and swimming.
He's been everywhere at
He's
the
been
Olympics.
Doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Another, so fun. I guess another cool moment as well. I love watching the volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Both inside and outside in the beach volleyball too.
Yeah.
USA women have two groups.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you remember Chase Budinger.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like watching and
former
I was like,
Rockets player. He's on the US beach volleyball team.
Yeah. I was like watching and I'm like, Budinger, that sounds familiar. And I was like, anyways, yeah.
He's pretty beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know if they'll win gold, but they have a chance, I think. And then also the USA indoor women's volleyball was doing pretty good against, I want to say it was China, but don't quote me on that either. But I'm excited about volleyball. There's just so many cool sports.
Oh man, it's so fun. One that's not so fun though, Jimmer and the 3x3 team.
Yeah, that was sad. He got hurt.
I'm actually surprised how much they got dominant. Like they did. I think they won one game or maybe two at the end. They lost like four in a row. Didn't even make it out of the pool play.
They made it so they would still have a chance.
Yeah,
to get into the tournament, but it just didn't work out.
No, that was a little rough. A lot of people blaming Jimmer. I don't know if that's really fair, but I can't see this being an event NBA players would participate in. Seems like it would be below.
I don't know. I feel like if you're an NBA player that like isn't gonna make the USA like 5v5 team. And you like want to just get some accolades in your career.
Yeah.
Like, why not? You know?
I can see that.
I don't know, like I could see like a role player guy just go 3v3 and just
go get Jaylen Brown. Obviously he wants to be here.
Oh, like he would be great. Yeah.
I saw Ice Cube was talking about having some of the big three guys come in. That'd be kind of interesting. I mean, those guys are older.
Joe Johnson, he's kind of past his years.
Those guys are kind of older, but they're all, those guys are ballers, so.
Who I want to see in 3v3 is DJ Burns.
DJ Burns,
NC State legend. He would be so dominant because they are so physical in that game. They barely call fouls, but he's got that right hook shot and he can get all the rebounds.
Oh, man, that'd be so fun.
I'd love to see DJ Burns in there.
It'd be fun to see some like younger guys play in it too. Like the women's team has a college player, a Haley Van Lith. I know that. Mm-hmm. But even like USA basketball has such a good program moving guys up. Like, we even got Cooper Flagg. Like, he could go be a part of it.
Yeah, he would be dominant.
Talked about AJ DeBonsa. He could be a part of it. He's on the under-17 team. You could put him on that team. Like, I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting to see those guys. Yeah. All really
put Bronny in there.
Yeah, why not?
Heck yeah, why not? He's a good defender.
I think he could be good enough to be good
if he can hit his shots,
setting. Yeah. 3v3 is kind of just an interesting format, though, because it's like, do you need better isolation guys or?
Yeah, you need at least one good like screen setter and rebounder.
Yeah.
And then you need a shooter and a isolation guy.
Yeah.
That's probably how I'd build my team.
We pretty much just had our shooter this time.
Yeah, we need the big man and we need the isolation guy too.
Yeah. Jimmer struggled a little when he had to like try to create stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's such a talented shooter.
Can we get the professor?
Oh, that, dude, yeah.
That would be sick. Professor and DJ Burns and Jimmer. That's my
next team. If we just started getting a bunch of street ball legends to come over and like, oh, man, that'd be sick, actually.
Or maybe the bone collector. Have you seen him?
Dude,
he'd be sick.
What we need to do, we need to get Kyrie to dress up as Uncle Drew and come cook everybody. Well, actually, Kyrie would be crazy in 3x3.
Yeah, no, he's still got
it. Oh, my gosh,
he would be perfect.
That would be wild, yeah.
I'd love to see him do one-on-one.
Yeah.
Even more.
If you could pick any like three Jazz players all time to be on your 3x3 team, who are you picking?
Are you saying like just the best talent or just who I think would be the most fun to watch?
Yeah.
If it was best talent, I'd John best Stockton, talent. Karl Malone, and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. That fit my bill.
That's probably
weird.
A lot of talent.
Yeah.
But if I'm thinking more for fun, like who I think would be fun to see, yeah. I'd probably do AK-47.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd
as
be
my
really
big
fun.
Guy. Give me Mike Conley.
Okay, that'd be good.
And then give me a shooter. Hey, we talked about him earlier. Why not Gordon Hayward?
Oh, okay.
Prime Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, that'd be good.
He can do some isolation,
too.
He'd
be a good one, yeah. He's got good size, too. I'd probably go, man, we need a bruiser, like a... Can Al Jefferson
and his canter. He's not from the U.S., though.
Like an Al Jefferson or Carlos Boozer in his day was... He had some strength to him. Dude, Mehmet Okur would be nice.
Oh, I just realized AK-47's from Russia. We can't have him.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot it had to be U.S.
I guess Mehmet Okur is not U.S. either. Oh, dude, Deron Williams would kill.
Prime Deron Williams was a beast.
I think it would be fun to watch a guy like a young Alec Burks. He was kind of shifty, a little bit good shooter.
Or Trey Burke.
Trey Burke would be nice.
He was that guy at Michigan.
Yeah,
he like made a deep run in the tournament.
He's had some games after Jazz, too, where it's shown his scoring ability. But that'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Yeah,
to put
next
together
year,
a tournament.
If Jimmer's still like able to do it, I'd love to see him. But let's get some more guys in there.
Absolutely,
we need it.
I wonder what the competition was like for that. I didn't ever see like a tournament, or they've kind of been the team for a while, so it seems kind of weird. But
yeah,
BYU strong on the recruiting trail, sticking with the boys.
We talked AJ Jabonsa, top seven. BYU's in there. So
oh my gosh,
we've got some pretty good competition though with some of those other teams that's on his list.
It's so wild. BYU is about to be named Kevin Young University pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
I think Igor Demin, Russian prospect out of, I don't remember what team, Real Madrid or something.
Yeah, Real Madrid.
He finally got rated, given a star rating as a 5-star, which makes him the highest BYU recruit of all time, which is absolutely wild.
He's got a lot to live up to, but
yeah, he does.
I think he can do it. I think he's built to dominate college basketball. Yeah, so I'm hoping that's what it's like when we're at the games, is him just cooking people.
Yeah, it's cool to see Kevin Young use all these different avenues too. Like Mark Pope was a a pretty decent recruiter, but he kind of stuck to pipelines that he already knew.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Young probably does too, but he just has a lot more pipelines with foreign. Yeah. He went and got, I forget his name, but the guy from NBA Africa that they just sent his last recent signing. They got an overtime elite guy in Cannon Catching.
He's going to be good.
They went and got a Stanford coach, which came with a 4-star Elijah Crawford. Dude, we're pulling from everywhere.
No, he's got the connections from the NBA for sure.
Absolutely does. It's crazy.
I'm excited. It's gonna be the most hyped BYU basketball season in recent memory, since Jimmer was there.
It's going to be so good. I'm so excited. Yeah, we both got our tickets to go to the games this year.
Oh, yeah. Got the Rock Pass.
Just this morning, a couple hours before recording. So kind of exciting for BYU.
Well, thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We thank you for listening and hope that we can get through this offseason quickly and get back to some basketball.
Yes, sir.
We hope you're enjoying the Olympics and all that brings. And catch us next week. We're going to be talking more about the Jazz news. Hopefully Lowry will be signed by then and we could talk about that and the documentary. And we're also looking forward to the end of the Olympics too and seeing what kinds of events and medals come to the U.S. And so look forward to that.
Don't forget, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, we're there for you to listen to. Also share it with a friend. We love to hear your insights, reach more people. We just have fun recording this, and thanks for your support. Take care.